As we continue our lesson on ignorance is not an excuse, this is an extended part one. Our lesson text that we began this morning, and our lesson text comes to us from Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, as is read in your hearing. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. That word wink in the Greek, that word means overlooked. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, he overlooked, allowed it, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Ignorance, by basic definition, as we said this morning, we'll say it again tonight, that the Greek word is agnosia, and it speaks to a lack of knowledge or information. If there is one core item in the religious world, it's ignorance. It's all dressed up. People can build monuments, cathedrals. They can do all these things that will have mankind, if you will, oohing and aahing. But if you really open God's word and ask people basic biblical questions, you will find that there's a lot of ignorance in the world today, especially in religion. I remember there was a man that was just, speaking of oohing and aahing, when my brother and I first moved down here, there was our dad had a social gathering. We attended a social gathering with him, I should say. And there was a man there that had a PhD in theology. And he was sitting there just telling stories. Everybody was like, wow. And now Rick and I were much younger than we are now. Not that that was important, but we were the youngest in the room. And we said, sir, we showed him respect. We said, what do you believe about salvation? And he started talking about all kinds of, well, there was this war and this. We said, what do you believe about salvation? And we were ready. We began to give him scripture, and he got upset. What's wrong, Mr. PhD? Now, we were not questioning his education, his intellect, but you're talking foolishness if you're going to have people thinking religiously that you can do all these things. He couldn't tell us what he believed about salvation. Saints, why do I say that to you? There's ignorance in the world today. We need to, and see, the Bible focuses on simplicity. Jesus Christ, and I want you to, you need to write this down. There's three things every child of God needs to know when you study God's word. You ready? Number one, I'm going to quiz you on this. Who is speaking? That's kind of important, isn't it? Have you ever had someone say to you, and I know, again, we were raised old school, and raised in Ohio, and we were growing up, I was the inquisitive one. I know that's hard to believe. I was the loud, inquisitive one. Thank you for not saying amen. But I was told many times by not only my mama, but my grandmama as well. I'll go, what is it? What is it? I wanted to know. They said, we're not talking to you. Stay out of grown folks. I got it. Business. People better stop messing with our father's business. So number one, who's speaking? And from time to time, my aunties would say, boy, ain't nobody talking to you. I'm quoting them now. We ain't talking to you. Go out and play. So you need to know who's speaking. Number two, know to whom they are speaking. So you're not going to get a certification or a degree tonight, but what you will get tonight is simple Bible preaching. Know who's speaking. Number two, know to whom they are speaking. And number three of three, know what they're speaking about. So when God told Noah to build an ark of gopher wood, it was God who was speaking. He was speaking to Noah, and he was told Noah what to do. God didn't tell you or me to build an ark of gopher wood. Amen. When God told Moses that you will go and deliver my people, and Moses tried to kind of talk back, he said, who made your mouth? God was speaking to Moses, and he says, I will deliver you. You will be my mediator. So there's three different time frames in the Bible. You have the patriarchal period. Patria is a Latin word meaning father. So God spoke to the heads of households. He spoke to the fathers. The second dispensation, time frame or age, is the Mosaical, where God, again speaking, spoke through Moses. So why are people keeping a Sabbath day today? God wasn't talking to us. He was speaking to the children of Israel in a different time frame. Everybody all right? So if you get these basic biblical things down and you stay in context, you can teach somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, and lest we forget, go to Hebrews chapter 1. Please turn there. Because we are now no longer under the patriarchal time frame, dispensation or age. We're no longer under the Mosaical dispensation or age. So how does God speak to us today? Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews, the first chapter. I'm turning there myself, real time. This is live TV. Hebrews chapter 1 and the verses 1. God, who at sundry times, translate sundry, before times, and in diverse different ways, different manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The Hebrew writer is clearly stating, well, God has spoken to different people in different ways before time. But now, here it is, Hebrews 1 and verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us. Now you're talking. Spoken unto us. When? In these last days. By his Son. The last dispensation, age, A-G-E, or time frame, and there's only three, because nobody comes after Christ, is the Christian age. So if you want to study the Bible and somebody puts this in front of you and they want to talk to you about, well, let's look at the genealogy of something in the Old Testament. Nothing wrong with studying that, but that does not apply to us today. You can study history, you can study archaeology, but you need to understand fundamental Christianity. So the Bible says, Hebrews 1 and 2, hath in these last days, we're in the last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he, the Father, hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Why do I start there? Because as we go to Acts 17, turn to Acts 17. Y'all got that in your notes? Welcome to Religion 101. If we've taught this as this lesson as a college lecture, you have the most fundamental thing you need to know to study God's word. Amen. I'm going to check your notes when you walk out of this door tonight. Who's speaking, to whom they're speaking, what they're speaking about. Three different ages, time frames, or dispensations. Know all three of those words. And you ask somebody. And again, I'm not saying you go and challenge anybody, but you ask somebody that may have a PhD in theology saying, what are the three fundamental time frames in the Bible? Patriarchal, Mosaical, and Christian. And what are we under today? So why are we talking about the Sabbath keeping? That wasn't to us. Study it. We can glean examples and lessons from that. And why do you say that, preacher? Romans chapter 15. I told you go to Acts 17. We're going to go there in a minute. Romans 15 and verse 4. See, Paul writing to Christians, located Church of Christ located at Rome, in Romans 15 and 4, Paul says, for whatsoever things, Romans 15 and 4. Say amen when you get there. I want to make sure I don't get too far ahead of you. Well, you ain't enough of y'all now. I told y'all we're going to be out here early tonight. Say amen when you get to Romans 15 and 4. That's better. See, now y'all going to learn. I've been here 20 plus years. Y'all should know by now. Romans 15 and 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, written before time, about those prophets and those patriarchs. But he's writing to the saints at Rome. Were written for our learning. We can gain some lessons about obedience from Noah. We can gain a lesson about don't let the people make you so mad where you suffer a consequence. We can learn that from Moses. We can learn about the courage of Joshua and Caleb. We can learn some good lessons. Amen. These aren't fairy tales. They are biblical accounts of what happened before. Good church history. Whatsoever things are written aforetime, written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now let's cut to the chase tonight. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge or information. We're in the last days. Biblical illiteracy can cost us our soul. Biblical illiteracy has caused many, sadly, to fall into the traps and the devices and the trickery of the devil. And there are significant consequences. So I want to make sure, as we close out part one of this lesson on ignorance, to whom was Paul speaking? What was Paul speaking about? If you will, Paul was, who was speaking? Paul. I just gave you that one. Paul was speaking. He was speaking to those who gathered. Go to Acts 17 now. Wait for me in about verse 21. 21, 22. Let's go over there. Acts chapter 17. I don't want you to take my word for it. You can follow along in your Bible. Acts chapter 17. We're going to start at verse 22 for time's sake. Once you get there, just say amen. That gives me a marker. Acts 17 and 22. Engineers, I'm going to just stay. I'm going to stay in Acts 17. I'm going to read 20. You're going to follow me. 22 through 31. Make some application. This lesson will be yours. So now that you have the fundamentals of Bible study, who's speaking, to whom they're speaking, and what they're speaking about, you have the three basic dispensations. This is important. Patriarchal, Mosaical, and the Christian age. We're in the last days. Amen. So now Paul is in Athens. Now, if you know, again, I studied 4 years of Latin, and we did a lot of Greek mythology and all this other stuff when I was in high school. And it was fascinating. Fascinating. And so when you think about Perseus and Mars and Diana and all this other stuff, Medusa with the snakes and like the snake wig, you look at her, you turn to stone. Greek mythology, which means it's not true, but it fascinates many. Paul is the one who's speaking. You got that point? All right. Verse 22 of Acts 17. Then Paul, there it is, stood in the midst of Mars Hill. Now, Mars Hill, there's a place called Areopagus. Areopagus. You'll see it in the text here in a minute. And so that place geographically that still exists today, people visit. I plan to go there one day, Lord willing. But people gather from all over the world to go up to Mars Hill. They would meet there to just discuss matters and to hear something new. Not much has changed in religion today. People are still being misled religiously, especially if it's something new. Look at the text. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens," who's speaking? Paul. To whom is he speaking? The Athenians, the people of Athens. You have it in context in your Bible. Amen, if you understand that. "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Translate the word superstitious in the Greek. You're too religious. All y'all want to do, you want to just, now, why did Paul say that? "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I saw what you're doing. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." So keep in mind, the Greeks would worship various gods, the god of love, the god of war, all these different gods. But just in case they missed one, let's do one to the unknown God, whoever you are. He said, "You're too religious. You're too superstitious." But look at what he says. Remember what the word ignorant means. Remember agnosia. I'm keeping that on the screen. "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Paul is saying, you worship an unknown God? He said, if you're going to put that up there, you lack the information you need to be saved. Paul speaking to the Athenians, those at Mars Hill, Areopagus, same as simultaneous place, synonymous, if you will. Mars Hill is Areopagus. And Paul says, you are sitting, you got an altar to an unknown God that you ignorantly, you don't know what you're doing. And there's people today that just come out for emotion in religion. And those who seemingly have intellect in religion, just stay with the scriptures then. The simplicity of scripture is what God requires of us. Look at what Paul says. He continues. We're in verse 24. You still with me? "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." You can tear all this down. Now, those are fighting words. In Greece, have you seen pictures of Greece? The temples, the archaeology, the beauty? And Paul's going to say, oh, listen, I see what you all are doing. I'm not pointing at you. I'm just, you know, letting you know, reinforce the lesson. An unknown God? Let me declare unto you who he is, who God is. Because you are ignorantly worshiping. And for the record, he says, one, God is the creator. Did y'all see that? Look at it in verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein. He is the creator. And by the way, since he created all things, he is not worshiped with stuff that you made. Amen, saints. I'm trying to just give you a simple lesson, sit down, but y'all all right? I may preach longer than I promise now. Y'all better leave me alone. Look at what Paul said in Areopagus, Mars Hill, Brother Tinsley's. God created everything. So whatever you erect, these beautiful monuments and all that, God doesn't need that. He gets even better. We're going to stay in this contextual setting tonight. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Verse 25, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. We serve an all-sufficient God. So I don't care how big you make the monument, how big you make the temple, God created everything in this world, and he does not dwell in temples made with hands. What's our takeaway as the Lord's church? Because we recognize this building is not the church. There are those who spend millions of dollars, billions worldwide, to erect a facility that people end up worshiping the created and not the creator. Paul says he doesn't need that. Verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. I love verse 26. Paul is saying, since God created man, everybody can be in one spiritual place, no matter whatever your race or ethnicity. Did you hear that? He made of one blood all nations. Through Jesus Christ, Paul's setting a marker here. He didn't say Jesus yet, but you're going to see it in a minute. All nations can be a part of one spiritual family, serving the same God. That they should, verse 27, God created the bounds of their habitation. Verse 26, God created the bounds of their habitation. So if you have a household, there's got to be boundaries. I said that this morning. There's got to be boundaries. Can you imagine somebody walking up to you saying, let's say you're just walking down the street. Hi, Daddy. Brothers, how would you respond to that? That'll probably get your attention. Hi, Daddy. Put me on your taxes. I'm a dependent now. No. I don't know you, child. Get away from me. Better go find your daddy. Because there are benefits of being in the household. So when you look at the text in Acts 17:26, see, God determined beforehand who would be saved, how they would be saved, and where the saved are. And it's not in something erected by man. So when people want to take you down a rabbit hole in church history telling you, was the Church of Christ in existence in 1800? He was in existence in AD 33. See, God beforehand determined the time. And what God created does not need to be restored. You take an old car, take an old Oldsmobile, Brother Ron, and maybe a 1970 Oldsmobile. You can restore it in 2024 because the age will show. Cracked seats and all that. But when God established a church, it doesn't need to be restored. So if you go down history and all these, the Reformation movement, the Restoration movement, trying to take things back to the Bible, well, God had already set up the bounds, Acts 17 and 26. God set up the bounds of their habitation. God set this thing up. And so let me hasten on now. That they should happily seek the Lord, verse 27. If happily that they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. You're looking for the truth, God is able. God wants all mankind to be saved. But remember, who's speaking? Paul. To whom is he speaking? Those in Athens. Areopagus, Mars Hill. But here we go. But when we think about Areopagus, I want to do one thing. Let me take you back. Turn your page back. I got to turn back a page. I need to give you some context on Areopagus. I got to do this because I want to make sure you understand. Look at verse 16. Y'all go back to Acts 17, 16. I need to do a pit stop. I want to give you some context on Areopagus. You in verse 16? I promise I'm not going to read all of it, but I need to give you some context. Three verses. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly, completely given to idolatry. Y'all see it? The idolatry means you're worshiping the created. That's why Paul had to say, no, serve the creator. Say amen if you understand that. All right, amen online. Put an amen in the chat if you understand it. Keep me honest, engineers. Verse 18. Then, therefore, verse 17, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Paul is saying, quit worshiping stuff. Now let's go to Mars Hill. Then certain philosophers, verse 18, of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. So people won't warm up to you. You start talking about one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So they were worshiping idols, false, you know, the created, and Paul's preaching Jesus, and they said, look at this babbler. Don't expect a ticker tape parade when you stand up boldly and say there's only one Lord. Amen, saints. There's only one. So Paul preached Jesus and him crucified. I don't want to hear about any man, any woman throughout history, the good intentions they had. If you preach Jesus and stay in the Bible, you can save somebody's soul. But I got to give you one more. Look at what they did. When Paul preached Jesus and his resurrection, they said in verse 19, they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? What this new doctrine means teaching. What is this new teaching you are talking about? Jesus and his resurrection. Why Areopagus? For thou, watch this, verse 20, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. Brothers and sisters, let's go. Let's hasten on now. So as we think about what Paul preached, Jesus, to whom he preached it, idolaters, where'd they gather? Mars Hill. Let's wrap it up. Song leader, come on. Watch this. In verse 28, for in him, talking about Jesus Christ, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Paul reinforces the fact that we are God's creation. We are not here to worship the created. No man, no woman. That is why, for the record, as I look into that camera, I'm going to look right into that camera. That is why we do not call anyone other than God reverend in the Lord's church. Holy and reverend is his name. Psalms, the 100, y'all going to make me go there now. I got to turn you. Go to Psalms 119. Come on. Come on. Psalm 111 and 9. Psalms, come on. Let's go back there. We got to get this now. Let me make sure I get it right now. Because we want to make sure that everybody understands what the Bible is talking about. Psalms 111th division. I said 119, but Psalms 111. You got amen? In the Lord's church, back to simplicity. When people want to call somebody reverend in the name of religion, they don't know the fundamental things about the Bible. I mean no harm, but I'm looking right at whoever's watching this video. Whenever you listen to it, please check the Bible. In the book of Psalms, I can't read all of the verses, but you see the pronoun he. God was the one who, and when you look at Psalms 111, the works of the Lord, verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable, verse 3. He made his wonderful works, verse 4. He hath given meat unto them that fear him, verse 5. He showed his people the power of his works, verse 6. The work of his hands are truth and verity. That's truth and judgment, verse 7. They stand fast forever and are done in uprightness, verse 8. He sent redemption, verse 9, unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. So where do you get man? Here comes Reverend Gail Nelson. No, sir, no, ma'am. I'm fine being a child of God. No more, no less. That's sufficient. So holy and reverent is his name. So when Paul closes us out talking to the people of Athens, I want you to put in your notes. I want you to put this in your notes now. Matthew 23 and verse 8. Just write it down. Because you know what Matthew 23 and 8 says? Jesus says, Brother Aldridge, all ye are brethren. That's why I am referred to as Brother Gail Nelson. A brother in Christ, Brother Slocum. So when Jesus says, all ye are brethren, Jesus says, don't call anybody your father. You have one father which is in heaven. Another, for all the Catholics out there, I'm not calling a man father. I'm not calling a man pope. Because once he dies, you got to find another holy father. We have one. We got one holy father. Amen, saints. I'm trying to finish, but y'all won't let me. We have one holy father. This is simple Bible. But yet, people would have you to believe. People would have you to be ignorant. So as we close, y'all put Matthew 23 and 8 in your notes, correct? I want you to have book, chapter, and verse. Psalms 111 and 9, you really Psalms 111. But 9 is that key verse. Holy and reverent is his name. Matthew 23 and 8, all ye are brethren. Now let's let Paul wrap us up. Let's let Paul wrap us up. Acts 17. Paul says, verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven, crafted by art and man's device. Quit playing with God. Don't make God into some little idol. Don't make God into some cathedral. Don't make God into whatever you hold, you exalt. Just serve. God is the creator. We are the created. And Paul says in verse 30, our lesson text, and the times of this ignorance, the days of you not knowing are over. You now know Jesus. I have preached Jesus and him crucified. Because that same Jesus that the Father sent, he came down from earth. God gave us his only begotten Son. He was faithful until death. He, Jesus Christ, died. When he, Jesus Christ, died, he shed his blood. Acts 20 and 28, Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. So why in the world would you call anybody else Holy Father? The Father is in heaven, not down here. But brother, there's so many people dressed up with the collars. They're walking around being called reverend. That ain't enough for man. Now you got some most holy reverend. That puts you higher than God. I wouldn't walk outside, be struck by lightning. I'm talking about most holy reverend now. Good doctor, most reverend. Now you got people coming up, the most reverend. So the superlatives of man gives you the foolishness and the ego of man. We are just brothers and sisters in Christ. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commands all men everywhere to repent. Once you know who Jesus Christ is, he shed his blood. That's where we stop. He shed his blood and purchased the church of Christ. But he rose again the third day. Jesus Christ on the right hand of the throne of God. There's no holy fathers down here. There's no one down here known as our religious master. That master-servant relationship. We are followers, disciples, students of Christ. Christian means belonging to Christ. But guess what's going to happen in the end? Acts 17 and 31, our final verse. Acts 17 and 31. You all there? Why does God command all men everywhere to repent? Here it is. Know the pronouns. I'll break them down for you. Because he, the Father, hath appointed a day in which he, the Father, will judge the world in righteousness by that man. Mama, there goes that man. Jesus Christ. God the Father is going to judge the world by that man. Not a temple, not a pope, not a man or woman down here. By that man, still in verse 31. Whom he, the Father, hath ordained. Ordained means chosen. God already made the choice. If you are to be saved, you must hear my son. You must obey his will. By that man whom he hath ordained, chosen, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. Black, white, rich, or poor, all men means all mankind. Now here it is. What's the assurance? Here it is. Our final point, in that he, the Father, hath raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. I don't want to follow anybody. Why would you want to follow somebody on this earth who wants to take, assume the position in the name of religion and because of your ignorance, calling themselves reverend? How about just being a Christian? Ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance is not bliss. Just because you don't know doesn't mean you're not held accountable. God's going to hold everybody accountable. I'm thankful to God for the time we've had tonight. I hope, trust, and pray that you gain some knowledge. Because as children of God, the Bible, God does not want us to be ignorant. We have the revelation of God through his inspired text. When you believe in the authority of Scripture, don't go outside of this. Because this is how we are saved. If you're here tonight, I pray to God. I pray to God. Brothers, take me to that last slide. I pray to God. There we go. Thank you, brother. I pray to God that you will give heed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's plan of salvation, we've already outlined it throughout this text, throughout this lesson. You must hear and believe what Jesus Christ did. Believe it with all your heart. Repent. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent means to turn from our ways and turn to God. It is not about the number of degrees you have. I was trained by men. None of them had a college degree. But you know what they knew? They knew Scripture. People come up to me and say, what preaching school did you go to? I know the Word of God. I got a business degree, an education degree. Even if I had no degrees, who cares? I know the Bible. I know the Bible. Amen, saints. Because it is not going to be based on carnal education that we make it to heaven. Do you know the Word of God? Will he find faith on this earth? And by the last time I checked, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Last time I checked, we walk by faith. Y'all better, I got to sit down. It's been a good day. We pray to God that if you're here tonight, you're not a child of God, you certainly have an opportunity to become a child of God. Belief in Jesus Christ, hearing and believing what he's done. Not only hearing and believing, but repenting of our sins, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, being immersed in water, you're baptized. Not as a baby. You're baptized once you know his will and you choose to obey it. We step out on faith when we obey God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the question for those who are watching, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? As we together stand and as we together sing, won't you come?